Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 8 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. Today, our guest is Matt Viglione. Matt is co-founder, writer, designer, and art director at SomaSim, which is a video game design company. In this episode, Matt describes his path from French literature to being a communications director in the nonprofit world to deciding to cut the cord and launch himself into co-founding SomaSim to follow his real passion for video game design. Matt was working at the time of this interview at a co-working space in Chicago called Design Cloud. Design Cloud closed in late 2014, but I wanted to share with you Matt's story and his inspiration that he got from being a member at Design Cloud. So have a listen. We mention a few resources at the end of the podcast, which you can catch at www.everythingcoworking.com/8. So Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to hear about your story and to hear about your experience at Design Cloud Coworking in Chicago. So tell us about yourself, kind of where you grew up, how you started on this journey, anything interesting that would help us get to know you before we get started here.
Sure. I just recently moved to Chicago, and the question about where are you from becomes increasingly more complicated as time goes on. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, and then I went to school in Philadelphia. I have a degree in French literature, but I got involved in the newspaper at St. Joe's in Philadelphia, and that's sort of where I fell into doing graphic design and writing. As a literature major, with a history minor, I obviously did a lot of writing, but that sort of attachment to the appearance and the presentation of the written word was sort of something that I fell into while I was in college. Then I moved to Chicago after college because I wanted to get into publishing, and I designed books for about 6 years.
Okay.
Then my partner and I moved to San Francisco in 2005, and I was the communications director for Catholic Charities in San Francisco for 9 years. So I was sort of the creative director, the head writer, sort of overseeing the brand and the messaging and of a fairly large sort of services nonprofit. And then we had always talked, games are something, video games are something that they're what I do in my spare time. I have an embarrassing number of hours logged on many simulation games. And my partner, Rob, we moved to California because he got a job at EA at Electronic Arts.
Okay.
So he's been in video games since he finished grad school through a number of companies. His last one was at Zynga. And then we decided that we wanted to really try to make our games, the games that we like, because we sort of saw them, they're simulation games. We sort of saw them starting to disappear, and we wanted to sort of bring them back and save them. And so that's sort of why we took this jump into our own, was to sort of start making the games that we love to play.
Wow, that's an incredible path. I love it. French literature to communications director, yeah, for a nonprofit to, and let's go make our own games. But
we decided to move back to Chicago. We moved back to Chicago in the spring to sort of, I don't know, Chicago is just a place that's very close to my heart, and we were very pleased to be able to move back. You don't get to move because you want to very often, so yeah, we had that chance and we decided to take it.
You decided Chicago was where home was going to be. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what has been, so you kind of talked about your path into the creative world, which is really, I mean, it really started as a passion, although I was thinking when you said you were embarrassed about the number of hours you've logged, where you sort of were starting, what is it, the 10,000 hour rule, they say, like, to become an expert in something. You,
yeah,
were just playing your way into an expertise, which now you're turning into, you know, what you do. So I don't think you need to be embarrassed. It was sort of,
no,
part of your grand plan, maybe.
It is.
You just didn't realize it. And I'm guessing that the gaming was one of the things that drew you and your partner together, which is neat. And now, you are.
It was one of them, yeah. It was definitely, like, among the first date conversations. So.
Yeah, yeah. So what has been your greatest struggle on your path to get to this point?
I think it's been having, for a while, having the confidence to realize that I could go out and do this myself, that I didn't need a job, that I didn't need a steady paycheck, that it was okay to cut the cord, that, you know, you weren't going to starve to death, you weren't going to go homeless. I probably stayed at my last job for, I don't know, probably 2 years longer than I should have, just because I don't know if it was overcoming burnout or if it was just getting energized, but really the challenge was to know that, just to have the self-confidence and the knowledge that, and the ability to do it. It was a long time coming and it was very tentative, but now that I've done it, it's sort of like, oh, that was easy.
Rip the Band-Aid off and it's not that bad.
It's healed under there. Oh,
yep.
Everything is fine.
Totally. So there's this book. It's kind of a cheesy title, but I think it's so relevant to what anybody trying to do something sort of, you know, unique struggles from. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And sometimes I like reread it because, I mean, so you're at a point now where you're probably feeling, right, you whipped the Band-Aid off, you're feeling good, but it's like those fear moments will come forever as long as you're trying to do something different and new and yeah. And they say, you know, successful people, it's not that they're not afraid. It's just that they deal with the fear. They find some way to get through it. So
it's sort of like, if I don't have a little bit of that fear going on in the background, maybe I'm not doing something right. Like, I don't know. I feel like I need that. That's something like if I'm too comfortable or if I'm like, maybe this isn't the right way to do it. Like, I think a little fear is healthy.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah. And once you get used to that feeling, you're sort of, you get comfortable with being uncomfortable, which mm-hmm. is huge.
Yeah, I think that was one of my biggest challenges. And just being able to, I think this is just something that comes with getting older, is that you sort of, as a creative person, when you're starting out, you don't think your opinions matter or that what you have to say is important. And just as you get older, I don't know if it's just you have less tolerance for other people's ideas or what, or if you just have more confidence in your own, but just being able to say, that's a really bad idea. Or we shouldn't do it this way. This is how we should do it. Just being able to have confidence in my own abilities, I think, was a big challenge.
Yeah. Well, and now, right, now you have nothing but your abilities. And so you have to believe in it. And that's an amazing, it's an amazing transition. So what has been your biggest success to date? I mean, I know you're still, you know, on your journey, but what's something you're really proud of so far?
Well, we shipped our first game on May 8th,
nice.
Which we said we wanted to do it in a year, and we did it in 13 months. We're very proud of the game that we put out there. It's gone, as my partner said, not as well as I hoped, but significantly better than I feared. Every once in a while, when we think that we're, you know, are we doing this right, we sort of stop, pause, and look at where we've come, and have a game out in a year and be working on our second one and to still be doing it, I think, is probably what I'm proudest of right now, is that we're going forward.
Yeah, and you've shipped something. I mean, to your point, like, you decided to do this and then you took action, which is the most important thing you can do, is put one foot in front of the other every day. I mean, that's the biggest deal, and now all you can do is do better, right?
I mean, every time I doubt a little bit, I just remember that there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people who are playing the game that I designed, which is just kind of an incredible feeling when I think about it.
Yep, right. I mean, you're an artist. You've created something that people are using and enjoying every day. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So if you were to talk to, you know, a 20-year-old version of you, someone who is kind of just starting on their own journey to do something unique, what advice would you give them?
Don't get comfortable. If you feel like your surroundings are familiar and comfortable, I don't know, for me, but that's what I need, change a lot. I mean, some people are afraid of that kind of change, but I don't know if I have a very low attention span, but I would go back and tell myself that feeling that you have in the back of your head that you should be moving, listen to it. Like, there are little desires that, not desires is the right word, but impulses that you feel, and if they're constant, like, you know, get out of here or move or do something else, listen to them, no matter how uncomfortable they make you.
I love that. I call them the little voices. So I have an MBA from the University of Chicago, which teaches you to be very analytical and data driven. And so for a period of time, I think I just forgot how to listen to the little voices, and I sort of had to retrain myself to remember the intuitive side. And to your point, like, when there's something tugging at you, you have to listen to it, even if it seems strange or it's not you know, logical or, you know, makes sense. You listen to those little voices because they're right most of the time.
I went to a Jesuit university and they're very analytical. It's like constantly like, why are you doing this? What's going on? And it was a great education, but mystical and into like those inner voices, Jesuits are not. So, I would just go tell them, like, you know, listen to what, I don't know, for lack of a better term, your soul is telling you.
Yeah, totally. So this can be sort of literal or figurative. What are two resources that have helped you the most on your journey so far?
We have this sort of small community of friends who we sort of went indie with at this, like, started making indie games with at the same time. And there's a clique of about four or five of us. I think that little group has been just to share experiences and fears and challenges, I think has been really a key resource for us. Just able to talk to them every week and get grounded or have somebody say, you know, why are you worried about that? That's dumb. Or have you thought about doing it this way? Just having that little group of people that I know we can trust and depend on has been key. And just because I've been doing a lot of research for historically based games, I've delved very deeply into a lot of corners of the internet. So I think I really have gotten a lot out of talking to people of the California Historical Society and the Nevada Historical Society for our game and things like that. So I don't know, just kind of like existing networks of knowledge, I think, have been really key, and just taking advantage of them and being like, I just emailed, like we were working on a Nevada expansion pack. So I just emailed the Nevada Historical Society and said, I need some maps of the Lake Tahoe region of Nevada from the 1860s. And they sent me like a dozen of them.
That's amazing, right?
Just having, like, just emailing random people in Nevada saying, I need help. And they're like, oh yeah, sure, here. And just, there are a lot of people out there who are willing to help. So just being able to, I know, tap into those existing networks has been helpful.
Yeah. And again, I mean, just not being afraid to ask, like it just, just the worst they could say is no, but never be afraid to ask for help. And, you know, with your first comment about having, you know, your group of folks who kind of went indie at the same time, the common thread I hear people who are sort of surviving this effort to do something different and do something on their own is that they have, I call it a tribe, you know, but they found their people, and you have to not be alone because there are really hard days and there are really hard things you could, you know, whether it's mental or whether it's something you're trying to figure out and you just get stuck, you know, it's other people who will help you get through. So however you do it, finding those people is, and actually using them is so important.
Yeah, if you get out on a ledge, having somebody pull you back in is invaluable.
Exactly. You need that, at least one of those people. So kind of related to the tribe piece, tell us about Design Cloud and why you decided to work out of a co-working space and what are you getting out of that experience?
On one level, it was sort of a necessity. We moved back to Chicago in May and we lived in a temporary space while we were finding our permanent home. And it was just a studio space and there was no way that we'd be able to work out of a studio. But also we had lived in Chicago in 9 years. So we had some friends from school and just some friends from when we had lived here before, but professionally we didn't really have a lot of contacts, a lot of connections. So we were looking to just get to know people, just get a feeling of what the scene was like in Chicago. Like what are people doing? What excites people? And again, just really getting to know people. And being at Design Club, we walked in and it just felt like the right place. They had art. There's art on the walls. There are artists doing installations. Being able to interact with artists who are doing installation was just fascinating. You know, finding out that she played it, like the one artist who's up here, she was really into video games. We had a great conversation about art and video games and procedural generation and just like these conversations that you don't expect to have been the most valuable ones. You just talk to someone and you just find out inspiring things about who they are and what they've done. It sort of drives you forward. It's really been those conversations that you just had no idea you were going to have that you have and just keep you going.
Yep, and those conversations.
Been fun to be surprised.
Yeah, you're not having those conversations in your studio or at Starbucks.
No, you definitely
not. Well, and right, from a practicality standpoint, you're never doing your work at a Starbucks, but it is amazing. Again, it's back to the community piece, like what one conversation can do to keep you going. I was in Design Cloud a couple of weeks ago and I saw the new installation going in. It was amazing.
Yeah,
it's a really neat space.
I don't know how, but I don't know. I feel like looking at the art that Stacia put up on the wall, but there's a game in there somewhere. I kind of want to make it just looking at it every day. And like, it's an inspiring place to come every day.
I realized I didn't ask you this at the beginning. Tell us about the game that you have in the market right now.
Oh, it's called 1849. It's a city building game simulation set in the California Gold Rush. So basically you as a player are the mayor or the camp leader of settlements throughout Northern California as you either mine gold or do things that support people who are mining gold. So it's sort of a throwback to the city builder games from the late 90s, early 2000s. So it was sort of one of the first video games that we got into as players, and we decided that it makes sense that that's going to be our first game that we make as a studio.
I love it. And I love history. And so I actually, I didn't mention it at the beginning either. I live just south of San Francisco now. So I lived in Chicago for 15 years, and it will always sort of be home. To your point, maybe it was somebody else who said it's really hard to say where you call home, but
yeah.
15 years of your life is a long, long time. And I love the city, but I love California, and it also has a really interesting history. And so
I love my 9 years in San Francisco.
Yeah. So what do you do to stay balanced when you have those sort of, you know, keep yourself off the ledge when you have the tough days? What keeps you going?
I grew up in the middle of nowhere in a small town, but since I've been 18, I've lived in a really big city, first Philadelphia, then Chicago, then San Francisco, now back to Chicago. And I mean, it's the urban area, the city, the people that keeps me, that refills my batteries, just going out. And when I was in San Francisco, I would just go walk around South of Market, walk to Union Square, walk down to Embarcadero. In Chicago, I just walk down to the river, the lake, or stare at the skyline. Just the idea that there's this whole organism, this whole city around me sort of lets you know that it's okay. And I mean, also, I don't know if this is necessarily balanced, but I play video games when I'm not making video games.
There you go.
So
that's your way.
And I also read, I have a minor in history and I read history all the time. So, I bury myself in a good long history of something obscure.
Wait, so you're working on a new game. What is the new game about?
The new game is sort of going to be about managing and simulating a skyscraper or a large office building. So it's sort of like, you know, the Merchandise Mart in Chicago?
Yeah.
Like, imagine you built and managed the Merchandise Mart. So
interesting.
That's what we're working on right now. We're still in the very early stages. Like, the art is just little blocks, and the game really doesn't do anything yet, but we have a sort of an idea that, you're going to be sort of a building developer, property manager, simulate that whole sort of experience of building.
Which I think is an interesting time to be doing that, because I think there's so much different thinking about architecture and space, how space is used and what it means to people. I think it's just getting to a point where it has real meaning and represents a lot more design thinking and cultural thinking than it ever has before.
Yeah, I think we're at one of those, in the mid-20th century, when we're at that sort of people fleeing cities, going to the suburbs.
Yeah.
I hope that we're approaching some sort of point where people are starting to look for more density, look for more community, look for more connection, and how the spaces that we live in and that we work in are created, I think, is a fascinating conversation that is being had everywhere.
Yeah, totally.
It's part of why we're passionate about making this kind of a game. And that's part of what's going on in our design process of the game. Like, it's just going to be about how people who, like, depend on their routines and, you know, the places that they go and how they live. And so, like, as long as it's going to be about how you can facilitate and maintain sort of that sort of everyday pattern of living for people.
Very cool. So tell us, where can we find you? Where can we find your games and any other online presence that you want to share with folks that are listening to this?
We are at www.somasim.com. SOMASIM.com. And that's sort of the gateway to all of our projects, games, Twitters, Facebooks, blogs. It's all sort of linked off of there.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your story.
Thanks for listening. It's been fun talking.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.